3 months into the start of a new Congress, it's a great time to interview first-term Congressman Glenn Grothman. He's a Republican who represents Wisconsin's 6th District. Glenn, thanks so much. I know you got a town hall meeting, so thanks for talking to Wisconsin Eye.
Glad to be here in Kohler, Wisconsin.
Yes.
On the road with Wisconsin Eye.
Well, thank you. Tell us about the transition from the Wisconsin State Senate to Congress.
Well, actually, Congress is a lot like the Wisconsin legislature. It's just a lot bigger. And so you got to work a lot harder. I mean, my district is over 4 times as big, so there's a lot more running around, a lot more people to get to know. When you're in Congress, again, you have to get to know
A lot. That's okay.
A lot, new people.
Right, and your phone constantly goes off.
Your phone can go off just like anywhere else.
You
right?
bet. Was it a hard transition? Why is the Wisconsin legislature like Congress? Partisanship?
Well, no, not the partisanship. You have a leadership to deal with, and we have a very nice leadership, but obviously they manage things. You've got to get to know people both in the Senate and the House in both cases, a lot more people. You know, the committees in the state Senate, I was used to dealing with 5 people. And the committees in Madison, most of them are 38 or 40 people.
I mean in Washington, yeah.
Or in Washington, correct. Yeah. So in that way, it's a lot bigger on the floor. Rather than having 33 state senators, you have 435 congressmen, so that's a lot bigger. And as the result, you're spending a lot more time there as well. And you frequently have 2 committee hearings at the same time, maybe 3 committee hearings at the same time, which is more than I had in Madison. So those are some of the...
Any tough votes so far? Now, you got some pushback on your vote for leadership, right? You voted for,
well,
for
I think
the speaker?
A leadership vote is, under normal circumstances, an automatic vote. And if you think about it, it's easier if you had smaller figures. Let's pretend you have a 17-16 majority in the state Senate. Republicans may disagree on who that leader is, mm-hmm. but when they come to the floor together, all 17 must vote for the same person or you never can start,
right?
And I think there were a lot of people whose first choice may not be John Boehner, though I get along very well with John Boehner. But if you don't stick together, you never start. And the people who voted against John Boehner never gave an alternative, and I think, quite frankly, for that reason, were quite irresponsible.
Okay. Now that you've had 3 months in Congress, are you able to establish what might be a first-term goal for the 6th District, Glenn?
Well, I think the goals are the same things I ran on. I think we have to begin to talk about welfare reform. I think there's a chance we can do something on abuses on the disability system, which is part of what we need in the welfare reform. I like to think we can begin to do some things on the corporate tax level to make them a little bit simpler and more competitive on a world stage. We have to focus on manufacturing. Wisconsin is the 2nd biggest manufacturing state in the country on percent of population involved mm-hmm. in manufacturing. And the 6th District certainly mirrors that, so whatever we can do regulatory on that area would be a good thing.
Okay, let's run down some issues since I know your town hall is going to start soon. The deal announced with Iran, that the U.S. and European, do you think that's a good deal in the best interest of the...
No, everybody we talk to says a very scary thing. It seems like in the deal it provides a roadmap for Iran to get nuclear weapons. And the public has to realize Iran is not just any other country. Iran looks 3 countries away and to this day says, we want to destroy Israel. Well, what in the world do you need nuclear weapons for? Okay, I can't help but think they don't need nuclear weapons for their neighbors, right? I don't think Iran is threatened by Pakistan. Iran is not threatened by Iraq. Iran right now is almost running Iraq. So you have to conclude that the reason Iran wants nuclear weapons is to destroy Israel. And they also say horrible things about this country. And if they ever get missiles, you know, strong enough to go around the world, and there's no reason to think they wouldn't, they someday may use the nuclear weapons against this country. So for anybody who thinks this deal is good, I suggest they look at the quotes from the leadership of Iran and say, is Iran get nuclear weapons the same thing as Israel or France or even Russia?
Israel-U.S. Relations have appeared to hit a rocky road. How far apart do you think those two nations are, Congressman?
Oh, I think they get along very well. I mean, except for the president. You know, I mean, Netanyahu came to Congress. He received a positive response. I've met with the ambassador from Israel. I think that meeting went very well. So I think there's a lot of support in the United States for Israel. I just don't think there's that much support from the White House.
Well, how would you rate President Obama with less than 2 years on his term? How effective a president is he this late into his last term, sir?
He could be effective. A disappointing thing is, in the final 2 years, he has not decided to tackle any tough issues. I mean, we have a huge debt problem. He could realistically go after that and say, here's a roadmap towards balancing our budget. He doesn't even pretend to balance the budget in 10 or 15 or 20 years from now. We've got a Medicare crisis that's going to be very difficult for whoever the president is. Because he's in his final 2 years, he could take the leadership role, say, look, we got a Medicare problem, here are my suggestions. He hasn't done that. So rather than set things up and make things easier for a successor, he's kind of being unnecessarily partisan, which is unfortunate.
He recently announced that we're going to keep more U.S. troops in Afghanistan than had been expected. Do you have any reaction to that, sir?
I don't think it's surprising. I mean, we see what a train wreck resulted when he pulled out of Iraq. So I think he maybe learned by what his mistakes were in Iraq.
What do you think should be the response in Congress if the U.S. Supreme Court voids that section of the Affordable Care Act, which says in states like Wisconsin that didn't set up their exchange, there's no federal subsidies, sir?
Well, Congress is going to have to respond. It wouldn't surprise me. As a matter of fact, I expect that. I think the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare was put together kind of sloppily. I think a lot of people weren't paying attention to what happens. And if we find something that's unconstitutional there, that's a problem. On the other hand, a lot of people are on Obamacare right now. We do have to get rid of Obamacare, but we have to be mindful of the people who are on the system and make sure they don't slip through the cracks.
If the Supreme Court ruled against the ACA, what do you think should be the first step taken by members of Congress to in response to that ruling?
I think we've already taken a step. I think there are a given number of people out there in informal committees putting together alternatives. I am not on that committee, but I anticipate when I get back we will have possibilities laid on the table for us.
Okay. The major differences between the GOP budget and the Democratic budget, sir?
We're trying to balance the budget. I mean, if you look at our budget, it's a little bit embarrassing. We balanced the budget in 9 years, but Barack Obama's budget is never balanced. It's never balanced despite the fact that he's raising taxes. So I think the two big differences are Barack Obama's budget, in essence, says that our problems are we're not taking enough money away from the American people, and Barack Obama's budget also says we don't care if we never balance the budget, because he doesn't even put it down on a path that way. And you'd figure, you know, in the out years he could say something, you know, we're going to balance the budget in, you know, 2022 or 2032. He doesn't even do that.
When you were asked in Washington about Governor Scott Walker, and now he's become a top-tier candidate, potentially as for the presidential nomination, people say, tell us about Scott Walker. What do you say?
I say he's brave, and in our country, we need somebody brave. I will say this. I think Scott Walker would be a good president, but I also think he has been largely created by the protesters. I mean, the difference between a Scott Walker and a Snyder or a Perry or a Pence is that, you know, the protesters kept Wisconsin in the news for months at a time back in, it would have been 2010, mm-hmm. And by doing the recall, they also kept Scott Walker in the news. So I think Scott Walker, I bet maybe is privately thanking the protesters for giving him a notoriety that the other candidates do not have.
Do you think he has a realistic chance to be the GOP nominee?
I've said all along, he is going to be the nominee.
He's going to be the nominee
because I think the powers that be want Jeb Bush. The public does not want Jeb Bush. It doesn't matter how many millions or $1 billion if he raises, they're not going to want him. See, look at the other candidates. There are a lot of governors out there, but I think the protesters have given Scott Walker a fame that the other governors can't match, and that's why I think it's Scott Walker's to lose.
Okay, and it's going to be Scott Walker versus who's going to be the Democratic nominee? Former Senator Clinton?
I think she's very vulnerable. And I think it's either going to be her or a candidate we are not anticipating at that time. But she stumbles so much. And I think one of these times she's going to stumble and all of a sudden the polls will show she's behind Scott Walker and many other Democrat candidates could jump in.
Has Clinton been hurt by the e-mail controversy?
I think she's been hurt by it. Not that the public understands it, but it's just one more example of the Clintons feeling that the rules don't apply to them. And I think ultimately it catches up you know, the public begins to wonder, and the press begins to wonder, who's kind of given the Clintons a free pass in their career so far. They see, you know, really...
Okay. Any advice to those of us still in the Capitol as we sort through the 2015-2017 budget? Do you miss us?
I miss you very much. I always kind of wish I could help my buddies on joint finance over there. Scott Walker, Robin Voss, and the crew, I say hi to them and wish I was there to help them out.
Okay. Congressman Glenn Grothman, thanks very much. You have a town hall meeting, so thanks for sitting down with us.
Thank you.